Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Sobriety. Moving further every day.
Plenty of young cats still got affection for real spitters. Hair of the dog got good reason to feel bitter. Plenty of real bigots burn bridges and meal tickets. I ain't gotta be specific. You feel me if you live it. And if you live it, you don't finish. You're not a gimmick. The pinnacle steady sending pretenders to the clinic. I pick them out, spot the beast, hit it with the right crossbow and eyes glowing like a Riddick. Politically speaking, institutions all classes, races. That's why I'm on my Cassius Clay. It's for basket cases. Took advantage of the agitation to get you caught up in the distraction matrix. It ain't happening. Is it my rapping or my accent? Is it my parentage or my passion? Faxes, I'm trying to get the message passed.
And now it's time for Homegrown, your show about local art. The only show dedicated to local arts. Here on 94.7 WPBC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. With your hosts, Leslie Amscott Jones and David Von Strong. And now, here's Leslie and David.
Hello, Charlottesville! Hello, Sunday. Happy Sunday.
Oh,
it is 10 o'clock. You know what time it is. It is Homegrown, brought to you by 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I am David Von Strong, a.k.a. The Devious One. And with me, finally, once again, is the lovely, lascivious, loquacious Leslie M. Scott Jones.
Ooh, I like that introduction. That was awesome.
You stoked.
Yeah, I can tell.
I'm in the same clothes that I wore last night for both excellent reasons and both horrible reasons, but that's neither here
that's
nor
okay,
there.
That's okay, sweetie. It's all right.
Yeah, just wanted to let that be known.
It's all right.
It's been a crazy week, but I've had so much fun being that week, and I've had a fantastic time with the people I've been with. And you had a lovely little daughter that
just got her
diploma.
I know.
Walking down that aisle. Boy, yes. She looks so gorgeous. Okay, I can stop. I'll stop. I'm so sorry.
No, but yes, she did look gorgeous.
Very proud mama moment.
Oh, my God. You know, she was 4 yesterday. I swear to God, I don't know. And all of a sudden she's 22. What's she doing graduating from anything? Like, well,
right?
I don't understand.
Right?
I don't understand.
How dare you be grown?
Right?
With your own opinions. And
But no, it was a great weekend. My mom and I like clutched each other and cried as she crossed the stage. And yeah, it was great. She did. You know how they decorate their hats?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So she decorated her hat with a quote from a Maya Angelou poem.
Beautiful.
Like, is she my daughter or what? She's so freaking me, and it's so awesome. It was really great.
That's like, dope. I really like how people let you do that, express your individuality when you
graduate. Right?
Because it's like, I'm leaving anyway, so what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Exactly. I'm going tomorrow.
Exactly. You're lucky I'm wearing anything underneath this robe. Like,
hey.
I'm just saying.
She was wearing a lovely blue and white dress.
I was just saying me when I was graduating.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying.
Wow. That's a little interesting information.
Okay.
I didn't.
I'm just saying. It was optional.
Thank goodness you're dressed today.
Okay. I am dressed today.
All right.
I am dressed today, as dressed as one can be on a Sunday off. It's a Sunday off, too. It's a beautiful thing.
So
World's burning down.
The world is not. Okay, well, maybe it is burning down. I don't know.
You burned it down. You had a comedy concert last night.
Yes!
David
was on stage and funny last night.
Okay, I wasn't on stage. I was on the floor of the Magnolia House, which is kind of a punk rock show venue, more or less. But yeah, it was a good show. It was a good show. Hung out with kids. Talked about Klan rallies and Tom Brady and the Oscars and Antarctica.
Wow.
And we had a great old time.
Right.
We had a great old time. So, I mean, it's with times like that you can celebrate all of the madness that's going on and have some and give yourself some type of levity.
Well, and
levity.
And if you ain't gonna laugh, you won't cry. So, you know, pick between the two pretty much.
Is Maynard James Kenan from Tool said, learn to swim, because
yes.
this,
yes.
we are going into the ocean. And with that
yes.
segue, I turn it over to Ms. Kelly Hocking. She's the outreach coordinator for LEAP, which is the Local Energy Alliance Program. She reaches out. She coordinates. I was like that kid that didn't read the book and just kind of like, just like was.
And forgot to pick up
Robinson
the
Robinson Caruso was, his name is Robinson, and he carused. So, Ms. Hocking, just introduce yourself for us. Tell us exactly what an outreach coordinator really does, and tell us a little bit about LEAP, the program that you work for.
Wait, can I just jump in and say, can we make that the next fictitious homegrown T-shirt? His name was Robinson, and he carused.
Yes, we can. Wow, we have a little too much fun laughing at our own jokes. Can I just say that?
No, this is what a radio show does.
Yes. But,
yes, Ms. Hockey. Yeah. Welcome to Homegrown. You see how we do.
I was nervous before, but now I feel like totally relaxed.
This is what we do.
Good.
This is what
we're here for. Thank you, guys.
See, no I told problem. You this is nothing. Yeah.
We also got booze in the back where the camera can't see it. So
okay, we're all set.
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. So yeah, LEAP. Let's.
Yeah, so we're a nonprofit, and we help people make their homes and businesses more energy efficient.
Cool.
So, and I started there in January, and helping out with their marketing and outreach and letting people in Charlottesville know about the services that we offer.
Right on.
And then we decided to do this event, and LEAP has never done anything like this before. So we just, since the election, a lot of environmental policies have been rolled back,
mm-hmm.
and it was, it's been frustrating for a lot of people. So we just wanted to do our part, mm-hmm. and make sure that the awareness is still there, but give people a sense that they could still do something.
Do you find...
Tell us about the event, because I don't think the radio audience knows about the event.
Okay, so
tell us about the event that you've never done before and you're doing right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, so it's going to be this Thursday, the 25th, at the Paramount, and it is free admission, so you guys, come on out.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Free movie, y'all.
Yeah, free
at
movie.
At the Paramount.
We like
so.
That.
Yeah, we've had a lot of great sponsors chip in and help pay for this, but so it's going to be a free screening of a National Geographic documentary featuring Leonardo DiCaprio called Before the Flood.
you're having a little fanboy moment over there, David?
Hey, man, any guy that gets beaten up by a bear, like, automatically deserves my respect.
Automatically? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just saying.
That's some...
All right. Little fanboy. That's
some
good.
Hardcore. Well, I'm not... All right. To be continued about DiCaprio, because okay. that's a lengthy conversation.
We'll have that conversation later.
He maybe has, like, three emotion, like, volume clicks.
Right?
But we'll go on from there.
Okay.
But yeah.
Okay.
No,
okay.
But he's a great, like, advocate of this particular, like... stance, and I really admire like his gung-ho-ness. I really am having problem with words today. Gung-ho-ness. Write that down.
Google it.
Yeah. Patent pending.
We're gonna make
David
it a
Von
new
Strong,
word.
2017. But no, I really admire the way that his passion about going about attacking like environmental mm-hmm. policies and things about that. So I also wanted to ask you, since all of this EPA rollback stuff has been going down, has your program seen an increase in, like, service? Because people are like, okay, well, they're taking away stuff, but I want to be as environmentally active as possible on my own. So have you seen an increase in,
customers?
Yeah.
Yeah, and people... Well, you know, it's really...
And I don't want to say customers, because I guess you're not really a business, but you guys...
Yeah,
just,
our clients.
Right, yes.
Yeah, you know, We've already reached a lot of people in Charlottesville already because people have been wanting to make their homes more energy
right.
efficient. But I feel like there's parts of the population we haven't reached yet, and we need to.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are still trying to access those people and
right
make
on.
Sure that we get the word out that, you know, your home doesn't have to be drafty and cold. we can help you fix that.
Right on. So what kind of services does Leap offer? Like, I would just automatically assume, like, solar paneling or options
that
for
that. Too, that's part of it.
You know, other, you know, alternative ways of heating your home and things of that nature.
Yes.
Maybe wind. Maybe if I want to get, like, a windmill outside my house. Like,
we have not expanded, but we do support renewable energy. Our services are looking at energy assessments in the home. So, and I didn't know what that was when I started. So I had one of the building auditors come out to my home, and it was fairly new. And I was like, you know, oh, my home's going to be efficient. I felt confident, but he found problems all
really?
In there. They come inside the home. They bring their diagnostic tools. They set up like a blower door test, and they lower the air pressure in your home, and then you can actually hear where you have some leaks. But they'll go around the infrared cameras, and they'll look, and they'll show you where you have problems. I found out I had mold issues in my crawl space, and he showed me parts where you could see daylight. It wasn't sealed up right. Mm-hmm. And builders don't always abide by energy efficient codes, right. Some builders. So we actually try to help out and change legislation to make sure that, you know, people are held to a standard so that people have homes that they're not leaking and that are healthy, because that turns into health issues.
So would you also do this for someone who's getting ready to buy a house?
Yes. We do have services, and actually we're partnering with Pearl Certification right now.
Okay.
So they actually help homeowners leverage the energy efficiency of their home into selling their home and making that a good selling point.
Yeah.
So if you got solar panels, if your home has been weatherized and you have energy efficient, you know, appliances,
right.
You get your, you know, a higher score, mm-hmm. And that can help you sell your home. So
what brought you guys to the decision to do this event using a film to promote yourselves?
We just thought that it would be something where we can involve the entire community, and it would be something interesting. You know, a National Geographic, they get, you know, up close and personal. And this movie, you get to go to different continents with Leonardo DiCaprio, and you actually see what's happening. And so just to get people kind of awake and seeing what's happening, but also giving them a sense that they could do something about it. So with after we screen the movie, there's going to be a Q&A panel right after. So we have a lawyer or attorney from Southern Environmental Law Center. And we've got two climate scientists coming, someone from Union of Concerned Scientists and NASA Langley. So they'll be there to answer questions. He's going to bring footage about the, you know, the Arctic sea ice and how the melting affects our weather patterns. So people can ask questions. But we also got our sponsors. There are a lot of environmental organizations. We got them to give us three tips. What are some action tips that people can take away? And we compiled a list of those. So we're going to hand those out after the movie. So people feel like they could do something.
Yeah.
Empowerment.
That sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
So are you guys going to continue to use art as a vehicle to get the word out there and improve our own empowerment to help the environment?
Yeah, we thought about, like, you know, just having, there's a lot of these films coming out, and I know Al Gore has, you know, the next film coming out. So that it's a possibility. Well, you know, we're already having success right now with the number of registrants, but.
Cool. Great. Thank you. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to a drop, which is we're going to pay some bills.
Pause for station identification.
Exactly. And then I want to talk more about the economics of getting your house weatherized and all that good stuff. And we'll be right back. This is Homegrown.
Welcome back to Homegrown here on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. It's 14 minutes past the hour. And if you have just joined the show, what the heck is wrong with you? Like, where have you been? I mean, we've been on for like 15 minutes now. What the heck? I mean, set an alarm or something, people. Jeez. but we're talking to our lovely first guest,
Kelly Hucking. She's talking LEAP. She's talking about ways to fix up your house and make it more environmentally stable and friendly and just better useful. And
better useful?
Better useful. Gung-ho with this. Are we writing these down, Clinton?
Clinton is jotting some
down. Let's go, baby! But, yes,
yes.
Kelly.
Yes.
So I wanted to actually ask about, all right, so I'm a guy that makes a remedial income. So if somebody says, hey, you can get your house, you know, tested for environmental purposes, I think, well, maybe I just don't have the money for that. What would you say to like challenge that offer? Do you say that would you say that your services are economically friendly for any type of consumer, or would you say just for, you know, the higher end?
We actually have a program, a weatherization program for families that might have lower incomes.
Cool.
So if you qualify for that, and anybody could just call LEAP and ask. So we would offer the same services, yeah, coming in, do an energy assessment, and
that's great.
And seeing how they can improve.
And I bring up that question because lower income families feel like they want to be environmentally, you know,
right,
more friendly and mm-hmm. care about their environment more and eat better and live better, but they just don't think that they have the money to do so. So I really
and they're also probably more likely to live in a home that has not. Those things have not
exactly
been taken into account,
yeah,
either while it was being built, mm-hmm, or, I mean, if they're renting a house that's,
yeah,
you know, that was built in the 60s.
Exactly.
They don't, you know, the person that was renting it probably hasn't done it. And they,
or no, in Charlottesville in the 1860s.
Right.
So.
And they wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't think they had the money to do it, but it probably definitely needs to be
right
done.
On. Yeah.
Where are there boundaries of the county or city that you service, or will you go out to, you know, say Orange or Gordonsville?
Yeah. And why Charlottesville as a hub for this type of service?
It's just where we're located.
Okay.
But
there was no like conscious choice to be like, okay, we're going to program out of Charlottesville.
No. It's, you know, we do serve a lot of Charlottesville, in Albemarle and other counties.
Mm-hmm.
And then our solar program is up in Northern Virginia. But we do cover a wide range, just where we're needed, where anybody might need our services.
That's awesome.
So is there like a website or some place where people can go and get information about the services you offer and pricing and all of that?
Yes. If you go to leap-va.org, you could go there and you could fill out a form, or you can call us and ask us any question, and we'll be happy to answer.
That's really cool. I think more of us need to do this. And make sure that we're not adding to the carbon footprint.
Exactly. And again, why this movie and why the Paramount, and how was it working with the people of the Paramount to like get this kind of off the ground and be like, hey, I want to do this for free, and the Paramount being like, free, and you know, just like, you know, working off this machination
in the Paramount's mouth.
I'm just saying Paramount's business. We love the Paramount.
Have we said the name of the movie yet? I don't know.
Yeah,
we said before.
We said,
flood,
okay,
like
good
times. DiCaprio.
I don't pay attention to you guys.
I
sit here and play cards.
Oh my good lord.
It's true. He's just sitting back there playing solitaire.
Jesus, be offense.
I find Jesus offensive quite frequently.
Oh, stop it.
So why the Paramount?
Well, the Paramount, just being a historic venue, and a lot of people know about it, and they've been great to work with. So we told them what we wanted to do, and they're one of our sponsors too.
Cool.
But we kind of got an idea of a budget, and we've been so grateful. We have so many sponsors that have jumped on board, a lot of environmental groups, people who really support this movement.
Yeah.
So other than environmental groups, what other businesses, that's what I'm interested in, what other businesses in the area jumped on this to make it happen?
The Charlottesville Renewable Energy Alliance, made up of, you know, Segura and Apex and a lot of these great companies, they want to work together and help to spread the word about renewables. So they are helping us sponsor Latitude 38. That's another building. Think Little, another building place. And Segura Solar, they sponsored separately. But yeah, just it's been great. And then the city and the county pitched in too.
Oh, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Well, I mean, our mayor's kind of progressive.
A little bit.
A little bit. So I can see him getting behind that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely in the environmental sense.
Right. So so if this event goes well, what might your next artistic endeavor be? I mean, will it be the next Al Gore movie, or would you be willing to branch out into, I don't know, live theater or maybe live music? Like
that would be cool. We haven't... we're so focused on this event.
Yeah, right.
Like, I get it.
But yeah, we have thought about like next year's event. What could that look like? And could that turn into maybe a fundraiser too? But
yeah.
I think art would be a great way to get more people involved and make it interesting.
So, yes. Well, you know, Alice Walker said, if art doesn't make you think, what is it there for?
Mm.
Yeah. So seriously, you've got all artists in this room. So, you know, seriously, you got an idea, bring it to us. We'll
definitely,
yeah,
we'll definitely
plug it. We can help you make it happen.
And I guess, like, final question is, what would you say to those who say that climate change is a myth and that it's unproven?
Well, I would challenge them to look at the science behind it. A lot of people who are climate deniers, if they're politicians, their campaigns are probably being padded by some funding from fossil fuel industries.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I challenge people to look for themselves, look at the science behind it, and see if there's something in your life that you could do to make a positive impact. And there is. Everybody has the power.
Yeah.
To do something.
Yeah, I mean, my mom's been recycling for years. I mean, she's a Nazi about it. But I think she's also started looking into composting in her house.
Oh,
because
yeah.
She has a lot of
was she composting. Walking on the mall?
See, I wasn't going to go there. But
seriously? Did you just make a joke out of my mother?
Too soon, bro.
No, I think
too soon. Do we really want to go to your mama jokes? Because I got some.
I made him a joke out of Nazis.
So anyway, she's seriously looking into buying one of those like little compost, you know, things that you can, because my mom, she bakes a lot. There's normally fruit and, you know, she,
mm-hmm.
Seriously, the banana bread with chocolate chips.
Mm.
Oh my God. And she does like 4 loaves of it a week. So there's a lot of, you know, there's stuff left over that she could.
My dad's been for like years and years and years. And I remember there would be like this compost heap that would be like at the bottom of this hill. And
right?
I would have to carry this like bucket of compost, funky compost, all the way to the bottom of the hill. And when you ate, that's like the worst thing ever.
Right?
It's like, it can't get any worse than this. Life cannot get any worse than carrying compost.
I'm being punished, aren't
right?
I am being punished right now.
No, character is building, David. That's what's
right?
happening.
Yes.
Responsibility is seeping in with the juice of the compost.
Oh, my God. Kelly, thank you so much
thank you for coming on the show.
Coming.
Please come back. Tell me how I can get my house up. I want one of those plastic trees in France. Have you seen it? They have the trees in France that like absorb the heat, and they it's like a windmill, but it looks like a tree.
Uh-huh.
And when it hits the like fake leaves, that brings in energy and stuff.
Uh-huh.
It's crazy. If you like look it up on Now This, I think it's on Now This on
so it basically just,
it looks
just
like a tree,
in
but it's
house?
A plastic tree.
But it's in
but
your
it's,
house?
It's not in your house. It's outside your house. But it's like a windmill, and it actually like builds kinetic energy, and it like saves it for your house.
Seriously?
Which is great. And we haven't like invested in stuff like that.
No.
Yeah.
No,
who killed
because,
the electric car?
Because every single
America killed the
one
electric
of our,
car.
Every single one of our politicians is taking money from oil companies. That's why. You know.
I mean, we have our Secretary of State is named Rex, for Christ's sake.
Right?
Are we in a cartoon? Like, what is this? He's the ripping, tipness Secretary of State. Out of the hit. Administration.
Rexon.
Rexon. Kelly Hockey, thank you.
Thank you.
For coming on to our show.
Appreciate it.
Oh, my goodness. She's right. Like, please get me out of this room. Of these lunatics.
How do I back away? How do I back away?
None of it is on me, right? I didn't get any on me. That's what she's thinking right now.
All right. Are we doing announcements? Is this announcements?
Yeah. We're doing announcements.
25 minutes past the hour. What's happening this week? Here are just some of the artistic events happening this week. Currently running June 11th, American Shakespeare Center's Spring Season featuring Two Gentlemen of Verona and Romeo and Juliet by Shakespeare and also Thornton Wilder's Our Town and Anne Marie McDonald's Goodnight Desdemona. Good morning, Juliet. At the Blackfriars Theater in Stanton. Also running until May 28th, Title of Show, the inaugural production of Phoenix Theater Works at the Belmont Arts Collective. We had Kyle Christopher on. He's awesome. Last Chance, Blythe Spirit, Four County Players is going down tonight. Go get your tickets. Go see it now. If you don't, you miss out forever. Currently running through to May 28th. I just said that. Currently running through June 4th. Death of a Salesman at Live Arts. I'm so going to see that. May 24th is LYAO, Comedy Open Mic, hosted by Chris Allen at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall. May 25th, Richmond's The House of Bell Drag Show at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall. May 26th through August 27th, The Mysteries That Remain, the first museum survey of the work of acclaimed Australian Indigenous artist Mick Namorari. Yeah. Alright, TJAPALTJARRI. At the Kluge Room, Aboriginal Art Collective. I'm not even going to try to insult this man by
pronouncing it.
May 26th, Bent Theater Improv Comedy at the Bridge. I'm going to be there. May 27th and 28th, Virginia Hot Glass Festival, featuring dozens of Virginia glass artists coming together for a weekend of demonstrations and exhibits at Sunspot Studios in Stanton. Say that three times fast.
No.
May 27th, free guided tour of the same of Australian art that I just said before. And for your music options this week...
Oh my god, this afternoon, Susie and the Pistols at Glasshouse Winery at 3:30. Guest conductor John Merton conducts the Nelson County Community Orchestra in an afternoon at the opera featuring pieces by Vivaldi, Gluck, Handel, Bizet, and others at the Rockfish Valley Community Center Auditorium. Tonight, it's Travis Elliott at Rapture. Tomorrow, ATM Unit featuring John Conwest at Rapture. May 23rd, Nick and Steve Pollock at Dirty Nellie's. Skip Haga at Heritage on Main. May 24th, Mama Tried at Dirty Nellie's. Hey, Susan, what's up? Tequila Mockingbird at Rapture, May 25th, the Michael Ellswick Gathering, and then Tyler Dick at Fellini's. Nay, Nichelle, LaQuinn, J. Wills, V.A. Doe, Easy Loke, Streets Blanco, Ordinary Chris, Bonnie Cash, and Congo the Man at the Breaking Beats Hip Hop Showcase hosted by our lovely, lovely Remy St. Clair at the Ante Room on the 25th. Don't miss it. May 26th, local Uber cover band in full plays Fridays After 5 at the Sprint Pavilion. 26, Robert Jospe Express Trio at the Glasshouse Winery, Charles Owens Jazz Troupe at Fellini's, LG and Friends at the Whiskey Jar, DJ Tulo's Ladies Night at Tavern on the James, Flash Fridays with DJ W at the Ante Room. Hey, Devin! May 27th, David Tewksbury and Friends at the Cunningham Creek Winery and Farm Store. Hey, David, what's up? The Buzzard Hollow Boys. Seriously? At the Batesville Market, May 27th, Beatles covering trio Das Homage at Dirty Nellie's. Okay. Johnny B and the Goods at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub, Stanton's Little Walker and the Convictions at Heritage on Main, Alex, Kevin, and Friends at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Every Monday, Seafoot, Charlottesville Friends of Old Time Music, weekly open jam at Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church. Every Tuesday, traditional Irish session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Every Wednesday, open mic night at Pro Renata Farm Brewery. Every Jazz Collective, number 9, at Fellini's, number 9. The Mike Brzezinski and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's. And every Thursday,
John Durth
Quintet.
I didn't even got to read it.
At Miller's. Love you, John. You need to come on the show, though. Seriously.
It is 30 minutes.
Like 4 times.
Past the hour. We're still doing Homegrown. This is who we are. This is what we do. WPVC, Progressive Voice of Charlottesville. We doing a drop? Oh, yeah. Drop!
That was a lot of words.
Hi, I'm Angus Carter, artist out of Stanton, Virginia. Listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC.
Was it on? I don't know. What are we doing?
What? Oh, 31 minutes past the hour.
Right.
This is Homegrown, 94.7 WPVC, Progressive Voice of Charlottesville. I am David Von Strone, a.k.a. The Devious One. With you, as always, is Leslie M. Cotton-Jones. Stay tuned after the show for the Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Rick Moore. Their guest is Bree Warner, the Charlottesville Albemarle Convention and Visitors Bureau, and they're talking about local tourism. Hell yeah. We love Charlottesville.
Yeah.
Bring in those folks.
Yeah.
We're
well,
like,
you know, some
we're
folks.
Like the Disneyland for hippies.
We want some
come see our Confederate monuments.
Yeah. Not for long. Come get them before they're gone. Woo. With us is a good friend of mine. This is the one. Yeah. I would say so. Would you say so?
You would agree with that?
Awesome.
You would say so, and I agree with what you said.
All right. You're cool. Nodding, so we're good with that. Yeah, we got to do it.
You might
want
to say that into the mic. So we can.
All I was saying was that Devious did say it, and I agree with what he said.
All right. We are in agreement that we are friends. How many of us have them?
Oh, my God.
Ethan Murphy
is... And that is actually
is...
more agreement than the Congress has seen, I think, in the past 12 years. Right?
The past democracy?
I don't think they're working right now.
I don't...
Like...
No, they're not.
Ethan Murphy is in the house.
Hello, hello.
Creator of Slate Nash, along with the editor of Slate Nash, Susan Holland. Welcome to Homegrown.
Hello.
Hello. How are y'all doing today?
We're good. We're usually this close to each other, but we're not always very close.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. More pencils.
Wow. There's been a lot of like too much information on this show already.
Never too much information.
So, these are the two wonderful collaborators of the graphic novel Slate and Ash. So talk about Slate and Ash, talk about Screen Boy Productions, and talk about the Divine Influence that's coming out in October.
You did your homework. You did your research.
No, it's actually on this paper right here. I've done
so you're literate.
Wait. Clinton did his homework.
I did absolutely
Clinton
nothing.
Clinton did David's
but
homework.
I made it look like I did, which is the beauty of radio.
That's the beauty of Homegrown right there.
Yeah.
I do David's homework, and he keeps the bullies from beating me up.
Again, not for long. He's going to get locked up soon. But that's neither here nor there. It's true. Ethan.
Tell us.
Slate Nash. Give it to me, baby.
Sure, of course, gladly. Like Susan was saying before, she is, in fact, my editor on this, and she's also the person that helped me collaborate to actually make it come to fruition. And it actually, if you've never heard of Slate Nash, which I'm sure about 99% of you haven't, if you can imagine, it's basically like Axel Foley from Beverly Hills Cop teams up with Frasier Crane from Frasier to fight in the world similar to Walking Dead, except the zombies are like the Hulk. So if you were ever wondering if I'm a nerd, probably.
Yeah. Okay, wait.
Break it down. I apologize. Break it down.
No.
It's a lot to take in. There are so many things going through my head right now.
Particularly the Beverly Hills Cop theme song.
Right? Yes! Thank you. I'm like...
Wait, do you have the rights for that? Do y'all have the rights?
No,
we don't. But, okay.
So, yes, right, less than 30 seconds.
Harold Faltermeyer is on the phone right now.
So do they team up like... They're like best friends and they team up to do this, like, or do they happen across each other fighting the same fight and decide to join forces?
It's like the Odd Couple meets Batman and Robin.
Right, and so it's a little...
That's even better. I should write that one. Well, I start paying you, apparently. But yes, it is more or less, the answer to your question is yes. It basically is, if you could imagine, they, of course, when they first meet up, he is a cop The Axel Foley character is a cop,
uh-huh.
and the Fraser Crane character is in fact they call him golems. He's a golem. So they are by nature, by profession, mortal enemies.
Yes.
So when they meet up, obviously they're not having tea and crumpets. They are trying to kill each other.
No.
And then through a series of circumstances, they do of course have to unite, and that's when the fun ensues.
So it's kind of that whole like Batman Superman rivalry thing going on.
Yeah.
Yes, but not in a Zack Snyder way. Please. Not in Zack Snyder way.
But all right. So I guess I'm gonna let kind of Clinton take the
yes.
reins on. Well,
on the comic.
Well, not just yet. I was just trying to say. Well, talk more about the actual like process, like when you and Susan like got together.
Actually,
and, like,
can I jump in for a quick
yeah,
question?
Absolutely.
You were you at all inspired by Quantum and Woody?
Ah, I heard about that after. So honestly, no. But someone else brought that up at a con. So yeah. I'm aware of it, but no, it wasn't inspired by it originally.
Interesting. So do you try to keep track of, because I point out to our viewers, or at least our listeners, those of you who are cool enough to be viewing on the Facebook Live can see, brother in the house.
Black man, black man.
And not.
And literally the exact opposite.
It's okay. We have many opposites on the show.
Hey, we said we wouldn't talk about that, Clinton.
So do you? So can you talk about being an African American comic creator? Do you keep do you keep tips on the work of other African American comic creators? How does that at all play into what's going on and what you're doing?
Sure. Well, as you all can attest, even Fina, Susan. I can attest, there's no way not to be what you are and have it affect everything that you do. I am a African-American male that creates and writes comics. However, by nature, I am an African-American male comic creator. The two aren't mutually exclusive, but they aren't apart either. So yes, everything that I do or create or write comes from that perspective. And of course, I keep I kept abreast of other African-American males and females in the business and the industry, not just comics, but all entertainment, because it's storytelling and storytelling regardless of what the medium is. And it's important, in my opinion, to express the best stories you can on any medium that's out there with the best storytellers, whether you're black, female, young, old, or devious.
You're a species now.
None of the above.
So has it been hard to get your stuff out there? Like, I mean, we're all artists in this room, but in different mediums. So, and while I do read comic books, I'm not as well versed in it as Clinton. So how has the journey been of getting from story to
page
drawing to like book
color
on shelf
to right. book?
And this is, this is very organic, but Athena. Sorry, my nickname for her is Athena. I never call her Susan, so I'm going to keep calling her Athena. So there.
It's fine. We're good.
But,
we have many nicknames.
It actually fits.
Yes,
it does. But in 2010, I met Athena, and anyone that writes a story is going to make lots and lots of mistakes. You're going to need a good editor and someone to kind of cheer you on the way. So when I first got going, trying to write short stories and everything like that, Athena was there. She was always editing everything I was doing. She was always encouraging me to do more. Because like you said, as an African-American, you already have 2, 3, 4 strikes against you, and the game's almost over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So having anyone in your corner is a definite necessity. And she was there. And so the first thing was, I saw your hand.
No. I wanted to let you finish.
Or, oh. That's what he does. It's the creepy hand going, I'm about to ask.
It's a very pretty hand. My hands aren't pretty.
I'm sorry. It is kind of a tactic that I did. But no, I just kind of took you off the train. I just wanted to ask Susan, what does that process look like for you, that cheerleading, that editing, when he brings you something? What does that type of motivational talk look like? What is that process like for you?
Yeah. Well, it varies. He lots of texting and phone calls, and we used to work in the same place, so lots of lunches together.
Okay.
And talking about things. And actually, we were talking about this earlier. Our first meeting, I knew nothing at all about comics.
Really?
I did not come to comics.
Where's your background like?
I do tech support and QA. Software QA.
Huh.
And before that, I was a therapist.
Okay.
And before that, office manager. So lots of different
right.
things. And we've chosen to kind of see that as a strength. I'm not coming from the medium,
right.
so I'm going to see things a little bit differently.
Yeah, yes. a totally different perspective.
Yeah, totally different perspective.
And she's also, not to cut her off, but she's a horrible liar. There's no,
no poker face.
There's no right. poker face. So I know if I write a bad script or something like that, because as soon as I see her face, like, and it's bad. There's no denying it.
But we talk, it's a lot of talking in advance about the ideas that he has and where he's stuck. The first time we got together, I found out that he writes it like a screenplay.
Yeah.
So I had to learn how to read a script, which I've not done before. And I'm going through that. And I'm, you know, I start out with the basic, you know, spelling errors and grammar and stuff like that. But then also, you know, is there any way to say this shorter, more simply,
yeah.
kind of condense it a bit? Am I lost? Am I confused? And then from there we go to, it gets drawn. And then you do lettering, and then I double-check that there weren't any spelling errors introduced and any sort of confusion or anything like that. And I've also started paying more attention to continuity. There's still
yeah.
one of the books.
I know.
There's a
I
doorknob.
Know. I know.
And it bugs me that I missed it.
It's
an Easter egg.
And you're asking about the process, Clinton and Leslie and Leslie's friend, Devious.
I'm not.
No, but part of it is,
what
too.
What process?
That would be a process. But part of the thing is, as opposed to shooting a live-action film with a camera, if there's a continuity error, you can just kind of reshoot it.
Mm-hmm.
With a comic book, if you once it's drawn, if you don't catch it early enough.
Sorry, I brought
it gets,
up.
No, that's not telling me. But if you don't catch it early enough in the layouts, or even the pencils, once it's colored and let over, it's like, whoa, that's pretty much permanent. That person had to go back over it and draw it. It takes a lot of time and money. And as you can see, I'm not rich.
So you're a one-man shop with these. Like, are you writing, penciling, coloring, and inking the whole thing yourself?
I can see you wearing glasses, so that's a common mistake. No. No.
God.
No, I am the writer and the creator, so I am kind of the brainchild of it, more or less. But there's a different person that does the penciling.
Uh-huh.
Typically, it's a person that's inking. I'm fortunate enough to have a pencil that's able to ink most of the time, named Luigi Torelli. He can do both of them. And then there's also a colorist. And our resident colorist now is Veronica Smith. We've had other ones in the past. I do prefer to work with female colorists because they just seem to be add.
We're better.
I mean, if the boot fits,
I mean, be real. We're just better.
At everything.
At everything.
But it does take a whole team.
It takes a whole team. And then also the letterer. I used to do the lettering myself, but I'm not as good. So I have a professional letterer now, my graphic designer, AJ Schirkenbach. And then also with Screen Boy. Screen Boy, that book was created by me and another person named Josh Burke.
Yeah, talk about Screen Boy. What's Screen Boy?
Screen Boy is, originally what it was like a, more or less out of a happy accident, him and his partner, these guys, they make short films in Charlottesville and they do other kind of productions.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to stop because this is a great place for a drop. We'll come back and talk to Screen Boy right after break.
Baby!
This is Homegrown Drop!
44 minutes past the hour here on Homegrown.
94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. We're talking with Ethan Murphy and Susan Holland of Slate Nash. And Ethan Murphy was just talking about Screen Boy. Talk about Screen Boy.
Okay, so is this literally about a boy who screams?
Screen.
Oh, well, y'all pronunciate.
But it's a valid question. Is it a book about a boy that screams? No.
Okay.
It's a fair question, and there's the answer.
Thank you, Ethan. Apparently my only friend in this room at this moment.
But it's Screen Boy, like David was pointing out, it was essentially a happy accident where Joshua Burke and Perry McGrath, they have a filmmaking company in town. Long story short, I saw the graphic that they had for their company logo. It was literally Josh's son looking up at the word Screen Boy, and him and I with 3D glasses on, and him and I were like, yo, that's kind of a cool idea. That'd be kind of a fun comic book. And so literally Josh and I kind of sat around and just, worked up ideas, and lo and behold, you know, about a year later or so, the book was actually created. And it's basically the easiest way to describe this one is like Back to the Future meets King Arthur, mixed with H.P. Lovecraft.
What?
Yeah, for more nerd stuff.
There. Okay, that sounds something I would want to read.
You should.
Seriously, like I said, I mean, I read comics. I still read certain comics.
course. I believe you. But the professor,
if the many-angled ones reach 888 miles per hour, we won't be able to go back in time.
Okay, sorry, Clinton just had a little nerdgasm over here.
It's a small one. Don't hate. Stop it. You're hating.
No,
hating.
when you first said that, I thought of
a kid
in King Arthur's court.
Yes. It's not the first way to do it. But the moral of the story, too, again, is it's always a team of people that make things happen. I mean, Susan's been with me since the beginning. She's with me on Screen Boy, too, but it was Josh and Perry and everyone else coming together, like you said, with the process. Mm-hmm. There's always a penciler. There's always an inker, usually. There's always a colorist. There's always a graphic designer or letterer. It's a team aspect. Everything's created as a team.
How long have you been creating graphic novels like this? And how many issues of Slate Nash, how many issues of Screen Boy? Talk about that. Talk about the process from where you began and to where you are now.
Yeah, is Screen Boy out?
Screen Boy is in what they call the layout stage. Layouts are kind of like, I'm sure you guys have seen storyboards for movies before. Mm-hmm. That's the idea what layouts are. And those are really important. You have to make sure you catch things, because if you don't, like Susan was saying, you have doorknobs popping up. So that's where Screen Boy is now. It's the first
doorknobs.
God.
So that's where we are in the process of that book. Slade and Ash has the first five books have been done, and the fifth one, actually announced it now. The fifth one comes out next month. There'll be a full-on signing at Telegraph Comics. We'll have it at Atlas Comics as well. So you guys can catch it then. So in June, it'll be coming out, hitting shelves.
Very cool.
And also, I won't get too far into this, but Susan and I and the team, we're in works to actually find a bigger publisher. And once we actually sign some dots and I's, cross some T's, we will officially be able to be internationally distributed. We obviously can't afford to do that on our own, but a bigger publisher will carry that for us.
So tens of dollars.
Into the whole tens of dollars.
Yes. Cha-ching, so cha-ching, I know cha-ching. That recently, like in the past like year or so, there's one major black owned comic company that I know of. Is that the one you're looking at? Or?
No, I haven't pitched to them yet. But no. And the way I see it too is, yes, that's awesome. There is a black owned comic company. I would love for that to spread, as opposed to all of us conglomerating in one place to disperse ourselves. Mm. So that's what I'm trying to go reach out, branch out.
Yeah.
So speaking of it, if I can ask a question about the comic book world, see if you don't mind.
I don't. See, Susan might mind.
What? I read them now. you learned me.
I learned.
So what?
They learned good.
What people might not know is that Marvel Comics for the past year, maybe two, has been making incremental changes in their comics and diversifying their characters.
This has
been creating, as you can imagine, some fuss.
Yes.
So currently there is an African American man as Captain America. I don't know if she's still there, but there was an African American woman wearing some Iron Man armor.
Riri Williams. She is there. And she's actually a great character.
There's also a black Wonder Woman, right?
I thought that they had actually dropped her. Different company.
I haven't seen a book, but I've seen art of a black Wonder Woman. I'm
different
like,
company.
Yes. I know it's a different company, but I'm saying.
Anyway, so Marvel, as frequently happens with Marvel, having financial problems, and actually as an analog, as an analog to the Democratic Party, the way Hillary's loss has prompted people to say, oh, well, clearly identity politics are to blame. Clearly trying to appeal to a diverse base, trying to appeal to traditionally marginalized people is not a successful strategy. There are people now saying with Marvel, oh, well, the reason you're having so many problems is because you were producing these characters that not enough people want to see. Put those darkies and women back in the box. What are your thoughts?
Oh wow.
I will pull the pin.
Major grenade.
Throw gasoline. Matches.
Major political and social movements. You're bleeped.
I'll start us off.
Okay.
Years ago, what kind of spurned this on was actually Miles Millar, if I'm messing his name right. He was he's the Black Spider-Man in the Ultimate Universe.
Yes.
And what ended up happening against most complex, the common theory was that it would fail, people wouldn't like him and take to it. He actually became wildly popular. People actually really liked him. And it was an experiment, more or less, by Bendis and them, but it actually paid off for Marvel, the company. And so after that, they're like, you know what, we should probably push this envelope even further. That's the point of comic books, is to push envelopes and to be different and diverse and to speak to the community of comic fans. Typically, they aren't the most affluent, beautiful people in the world. They're normal human beings that have all kinds of issues and things themselves.
They're geeks like us.
They're geeks like us.
Biases.
With plenty of biases. After Miles Millar, of course, then you had, like you said, you mentioned Riri Williams, the Black female Iron Man. You also had in Thor, it was played by a woman. That was changing things up too. And like you mentioned, Sam Wilson, who's Falcon, who is now Captain America, and even Miss Marvel too.
Yes,
Having
Asian Hulk, right back.
Asian Hulk, who's awesome too. But so it's the ideas are trying to mix things up. They're trying to change things, and I get people are upset that the characters they've loved for so many years, for decades, lifetimes. Have been changed. I get that entirely, and I get the idea that trying to have a social agenda can rub people the wrong way. But you have to be willing to try things, to experiment, to change things up. With Slade and Ash is a African American cop, and Slade is actually Pakistani. He's Pakistani American. Having a comic book that has two minority leads that are heroes is in and of itself going to be rub some people the wrong way. So I get that. And also in the book, too, there's a character named Fawn. Fawn is Thai. So the three main heroes, one's Black, one's a Pakistani, and one's Thai.
Yeah.
Those kind of things, anytime you're trying to be diversified things or trying to have any kind of progress, you're going to hit stumbling blocks. You're going to hit...
It's good for us.
Yeah, I seriously think... because seriously, in the media, in the constant...
white
male crap that we see every single day. That's so cool that a Pakistani kid can open a comic book and see someone who looks like him changing the world.
Exactly.
Like,
and you have to realize the importance and the magnitude of seeing people that look like you in media. I can't tell you how cool it was reading comic books and reading books like Luke Cage and Bishop and X-Men. Freaking Nightcrawler. Yes. He was black enough for me and he was German. Yes. That dude was black as soot.
I'm
with you, bro.
Yes.
We in the struggle together. So if I saw anybody that looked that a hint like me, I was rolling with them all the way.
That's why Nightcrawler resonated with all of us because it was
we got
a different one. That's
exactly.
All right,
just let the mutants live in peace.
Right?
Why can't you just but we got to wrap this up. Ethan Murphy, Susan Holland, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much
for being here.
It's our pleasure.
Right on. So we're at 55 minutes past the hour. Here's your rant. With Leslie M. Scott Jones. Coming in a minute.
Can you cue my music, please?
At some point. The weekly rants.
He's trying.
Leslie M. Scott
it's
Jones.
It's okay. My heart and mind are so full right now that it was really hard to write this rant. I am sad for so many things happening. I empathize with the pain of all the families who have lost loved ones for reasons passing understanding. I'm angry beyond comprehension about the people who have gotten away with murder by claiming they were afraid. It seems fear has become a good enough reason to do anything you want. But that reason only holds up if you're white. If you're black and are defending yourself or your home and family, you're supposed to... Hold on. You're supposed to find restraint and logic in a moment of extreme fear. That dichotomy strikes me the funniest. For a people who have been considered inferior and incapable for hundreds of years, you expect us to display a level of presence of mind in an identical set of circumstances where you acted out of fear. The expectation for brown-skinned people keep going deeper. First, we were expected to work like dogs with little or no food. We were expected to allow our women to be raped and our families to be separated. We have been expected to take the blame for white suspicion of our superiority, the punishment for which, in most cases, was death. We have been expected to smile and get along, to dance, carry a ball, rear your children, clean your houses, and stand silently while you have polite dinner conversation about how we are less than. Women of color have been expected to be your mistresses, your concubines, and if we resisted your advances, your victims. Then we were expected to be thankful for a white man's attention, and if proper respect isn't given, once again, it ended in our death. So I'm going to take a page from a popular movie and now TV show. Dear white people, people of color understand your fear. We've been dealing with it for over 400 years. We understand you're not used to it, but you see, that wasn't our problem when you did it to us, so it's not our place to hold your hand and help you through it now. We know it feels shaky to be told you're not good enough or smart enough. We know that when you believe you're being threatened, your impulse is to lash out. But just as we did, you're going to have to find a way to control yourself. You're going to have to keep your mouth shut, paint on a smile, and take it, just like we did. Because you see, we, as a people, have realized that you were lying. We have realized that we are the chosen people. We have realized that neither of us is superior to the other. We have realized that we are all human. We have realized that we all deserved to be treated as such. And much to your disappointment and disillusionment, we are not willing to accept anything less anymore. So buck up. Straighten your shoulders. Paint on that smile you saw my mother and grandmother wearing as they cleaned your house and cared for your children. We are no longer afraid. We are no longer docile. And everything your ancestors were worried about is about to come to pass. You'll be fine as long as you go along to get along. And that's the Weekly Rant.
And this has been Homegrown. Stay tuned for after the show for the Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Rick Moore. Their guest is Bree Warner from Charlottesville Albemarle Convention and Visitors Bureau talking about local tourism. But that's been Leslie. I'm Scott Jones. I'm David Wunschel, a.k.a. The Devious One. That's Clinton Johnson. And this has been Homegrown. We love you guys. See you next Sunday. Peace.
Every day, plenty of young cats still got affection for real spitters. Here at the dog, got good reason to feel bitter. Plenty of real bigots burn bridges and meal tickets. I ain't gotta be specific. You feel me if you live it, and if you live it, you don't finish. You're not a gimmick. The pinnacle steady sending pretenders to the clinic. I pick them out, spot the beast, hit it with the right crossbow, and eyes glowing like a Riddick. Politically speaking, institutions all classes, races. That's why I'm on my cash is clean. It's for basket cases. Took advantage of the agitation to get you caught up in the distraction matrix. It ain't happening.
You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.